Hello everyone, I'm Tara. We are discussing various elements of service management. And as is the case with any industry, dynamism is there and failure is a very routine part of businesses. Now, failure per se should not be seen in isolation as an absolute disaster. Failures happen, and what is important is that recovery happens post-failure. So as we have seen in the discussion across different companies, industries, there are products that failed and never recovered. And then there are products and services that we will see where, you know, possibly failure happened, but they learned from their mistake and they very much recovered. So for example, we had been discussing how the semiconductor business of Motorola was turning out to be a challenge for them in certain issues. And then they adopted, you know, the Six Sigma model for rectifying a lot of the issues that they were facing. And of course, you know, they saw the positive results and, you know, managed to tide over this bottleneck or glitch that they were having. So what is important is not that a failure happened, because that is going to happen at various, may or may not happen at various stages. But did companies learn from the failure and then recover from it? And also, it's very important in this day of technology and especially social media, where, you know, you cannot conceal anything. You can't hide anything. And if there is a lapse or a failure, service failure, rest assured, the public is going to make sure that the whole world and their mother-in-law finds out about it. So you just have to go on Twitter and, you know, see what's trending. You just have to go and see, you know, what people are posting about on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And it's very rare that a service failure, and especially of known, well-known brands, that is not publicized all over, and it can have serious long-term repercussions if not addressed effectively. So we will be discussing what sort of you know, service failures are there, how to handle, how various elements of service can help to learn and handle, whether it is from a speed point of view, whether it's from a design point of view, whether it's from a timeliness point of view. So these are part and parcel, and the acid tested is, are you customer oriented? Were you willing to take feedback? Did you, you know, were you arrogant and you did not change, or you did change? So the first example that I want to look at in this discussion is Blockbuster Video. Now, here there was a significant element of overestimation of their customer loyalty, overestimation of their brand, and a complacency where they thought they're too big. They've been around for the longest time. And these were physical stores where DVDs could be rented. And the fact that they have such a large presence, they have, when DVDs are literally considered synonymous with Blockbuster Video, they did not move with the times when technology was coming in, when things were moving online. They did not move with the times, and they felt that their brick and mortar physical spread and the reach and the coverage was enough to help them tide over any other kind of formats which were coming in. And of course, we know, you know, despite having a long history of loyal customers, Blockbuster Video, you know, failed, because you had entities like Netflix coming into the picture, who first, yes, they started with DVD rentals, they moved with different models, they did not go into the expensive brick and mortar kind of sales points. They saw the demand, but they responded by way of convenience. They initially started Netflix Netflix initially started as a DVD rental service where you could rent unlimited number of DVDs for certain packages, and those DVDs would arrive by courier to your door. And in the US, those even 15 years ago, 20 years ago, your courier delivery, etc., was very, very reliable even then. So you got that and in your mailbox, and then you mailed it back when you had watched it, and it was working very effectively. But then, of course, the physical was being substituted, offline was being substituted for online, and then Netflix moved to your online platform and your OTT platform, and of course, the rest is history as we know it. So not being able to see that times are changing, the same customers who have loved walking and browsing along our aisles and pulling out the DVDs they want, the same customers now want something in the convenience of their home. They want a larger variety. They don't want to have to go out. So let's move to different modes and formats. Obviously, there was a lapse and Blockbuster Video did not respond to this. Now, another example is Radio Shack, which was an electronic goods chain existing in the US for over 50 years and supplying all kinds of electronics and being a name to reckon with. And yet, when technology changed, pretty much everything can be done on your smartphone. Times changed. There was nothing that Radio Shack, with its physical presence, could provide. That your other electronics and your smartphones and various other things, and the music, etc., could not be provided elsewhere. So and as per your convenience. So again, the same customers who were consuming Radio Shack, when we talk about customer loyalty, they may not move to competition if competition is offering the same product that you are. But if competition, even if they are not, competition is coming after you, if competition is offering a more evolved product or service, then there is definitely every chance that the customer will move to your competition despite loyalty, despite all of that, because now the customer preference has changed. So then you can't say, I'm a first mover, I have a practical monopoly, I really don't need to bother with someone entering new because, my customers are loyal to me. Because have you understood and have you studied the customer's requirement? The customer requirement is also dynamic and changing. So customer requirement, you have not studied how it has evolved from, being satisfied with your physical presence to wanting an online presence, to wanting variety, to wanting convenience. You have not moved with those times. You are stuck in the old time of, the customer preference. So customer requirement is also a journey, and companies which are not customer oriented on an ongoing basis and get stuck to, something that worked for them in the past will obviously then stand to fail. So, for example, now here are elements of not moving with technology, not moving, evolving your service or offering to suit the customer demand. Another example where it's a different reason why failure happened, but all of these factors matter along the service chain, is there was a iPad-based newspaper called The Daily. And it had a good following, and it was, it was well received, but they had a tie up with Apple. And as per that tie up with Apple, the revenue share which was coming to The Daily was not conducive. And eventually that revenue, a flawed revenue model, distribution between them and Apple, that flawed revenue model made them shut shop and have to disappear. So again, there is something where, there is a failure where they did not understand that despite the customer orientation, loyalty, being received well, we are offering a service which has an appetite. But do you have the sustainability for this? The revenue model did not justify the sustainability. So that's how it is. Now, very often, you know, print media, we know what has happened to print media and how tough the times are for those. And when you go on the websites of certain publications, you know, even well-known international publications, and I repeatedly keep seeing that pop up when I go to one of the one of the sites of a very, very well-known British publication, news publication. You go there and the first thing that pops up when you're browsing their site is, well, you know, these are challenging, a little message to the customer, these are challenging times, and you know the how tough it is for the print media and for us to sustain ourselves in this, and you know, we would be happy to take donations, and also, you know, if you want to go for our higher end thing for exclusive pieces, please subscribe to our XYZ plan. So again, you know, you are offering a very good service, you are offering a very good product, but unless you have profitability, revenue, sustainability, you are not going to be able to succeed. And you know, hence there have been situations where failures have happened. Now, whether it is a macro aspect that we are talking about, whether or it is a micro one, there are examples galore across various chains. So, for example, to give you an example of a service that handled customers well and responded in a way where it wasn't a complaint but understood what the customers require and responded to it. University of Alberta University had a good website, and they noticed that they have, in the year of the study and in the year of this case, they noticed that they had a good number of 50,000 plus unique views to their site. But only what they and they wanted people to subscribe to their email list, you know, and have an active registered subscriber base, not just, unregistered visits. But what they observed was that very few people were signing up for the subscription, and the conversion rate from their visitors was 50,000 visitors odd, was just about 1-2% conversion rate for the signups. So how do they respond to this? They responded to it by using technology and bringing up a pop-up. So, pop-up message. So, every time system observed, that the software observed that a visitor to the site had stayed on the site for more than 10 seconds, a pop-up would come up that, do you want to subscribe? Proactively asking, do you want to subscribe? And if the customer said yes, then immediately they would ask for, if the visitor said yes, then immediately they would ask for the email of the visitor. And once the email, was given in, then of course the registration was taken forward. Now, it is something so simple, so tiny. You know, we're not talking aviation, we're not talking rocket science, we're talking something so, every day. And, you know, think from a student's point of view. Education and university is, these are the younger generation who are even more, exploring, researching, visiting university sites, etc. So it becomes that much more relevant to have a database of potential customers and students who will, join your business and customer journey. So within a year of them starting this simple upgrade, from having a disappointing conversion rate, and instead of saying we failed, let's just give up on this, within a year they had a 500% conversion rate, 500% increase, rather 500% increase in their subscription. So just a simple pop-up was something which was very customer oriented and helped to help the customer and the company here and the university here. From a customer's point of view, a customer is complaining because there is something which is lacking in servicing his need. Now, when a customer complains, what does a customer want? Is it just expressing, is it just like some sort of therapy, customer therapy that he's just expressing? Or does he want a resolution? very often not just resolution, we also hear about compensation. So there are different ways in which justice or resolution can be provided to a customer when your customer service issue comes up. So for example, let's say there's a failure in customer service and a customer is unhappy, and a customer has is unhappy with the banker, then perhaps the response can be an apology or a refund of that extra charge, or some sort of other discount somewhere. Likewise, if there is a problem, very often with airlines, we hear of, they had overbooking. So let's say that there is overbooking and a customer has been taken off the flight. Sometimes customers are bumped off the flight, or, they cannot board despite having a confirmed ticket, because especially internationally, especially for domestic routes, there is overbooking is a very common practice where there has been a mismatch in the demand and supply. So you end up with a flight where there are more passengers who've turned up for boarding than actually the seats. And getting bumped off a flight can have, can really put off people. Now, a few years ago, this issue happened with one of the leading airlines in the US, where they were overbooked, and there was this one gentleman who had boarded and he was traveling alone, and there was someone else who had a more urgent need to travel. And this gentleman, because he was traveling alone and not with someone else, was asked to please get off the flight and allow the other person to travel. And this person said, no, my travel at this time is as important to me, because I have, whatever I have to take care of. And he was physically dragged off the plane despite having a, confirmed ticket boarding sitting. And it became a huge reputational issue for the airline. And of course, what the airline had offered him was like $800 to take a later flight and everything. And then, of course, it became a very large issue. And I don't know if they had to end up settling for thousands of dollars. But because of that, immediately after that, if any airline was overbooked and they made announcements at the time of boarding that we would, we are overbooked and we would request volunteers to come up and give up their seat for an alternative flight, which they can choose from, maybe 2 hours later, 3 hours, whatever the next alternative flight is. And along with this, customers also expect it. So someone may be giving up a flight, their seat to someone else who has a more urgent need, or if it's a family that's traveling and, the family needs to travel together. But that customer may expect that, okay, I am giving up this for, giving up my seat for flying later, 2 hours, 5 hours, whatever. Yes, I'm not being charged, for that other flight, but I want some sort of distributive justice where just an just a request is not enough for me. I want a voucher for $200, $300, $500. I want a voucher which I can use on this airline in future. Sometimes, forget voucher, simple cash, hundreds of dollars are handed over. Sometimes a person says, okay, you're putting me on the next flight, but I want an upgrade from economy to business. So just the response can be in multiple ways. You have your intangible, which is your apology. You can have your tangibles in terms of upgrade expectations and all of that. And then you have your responses by way of ensuring that the process is working seamlessly. You have responses by way of ensuring that there are no biases in the responses. There is fairness and neutrality in the resolution which is offered. Now, also to understand, one of the companies which has a very large customer base, and also given that they have a very high-end product like the iPhone, the price which they are commanding also requires that regardless of their customers, throughout the world, they have to respond in a manner that is extremely timely and they should constantly have an NPS which is very high. Now, once again, NPS is the net promoter score, which I was talking about. And net promoter score is nothing but are your customers willing to recommend your product to others? Now, Apple, they have a very interesting system. And what they do is that they track their net promoter score and their customer complaints. And if someone visits, a physical outlet also, and it's not just someone visits an Apple store, and they track satisfied customers and dissatisfied customers who they call detractors, who are not promoting you as of now. And they reach out proactively to detractors. If someone has visited a store or has put in a complaint, within 24 hours, they reach out to them and they try to find out what is the issue and why is it that this person is not giving a high, is not a promoter for the company, what is the resolution that is required. And this proactive reaching out to the detractors has actually worked very well for Apple, because through this exercise, specific exercise of which they have tracked and monitored, of reaching out to detractors in a timely manner, following up with them within 24 hours of their interaction or visit, they have managed to add $25 million in revenue. Because what they observed is that detractors, you know, so you have a promoter, existing customer who's buying from you, but when you manage to convert a detractor and resolve his grievance and his complaint and manage to convert him into a customer, the kind of loyalty and the kind of business you get from him is actually very often a lot stronger and wider than what you get from your existing customers, because of the appreciation that you went that extra mile. And how is Apple achieving this? These matrices which they are tracking, whether it is NPS score, whether it is various other things, these are shared across teams. They have meeting rooms in which they have daily meetings to discuss these, act on these KRAs and targets for their teams handling these. Also in the meeting rooms, you know, you can imagine in Apple offices, they have very high-tech meeting rooms. In their meeting rooms, they have screens where these NPS scores are flashing and various data of customer satisfaction and their detractors is flashing across to keep reminding the teams of what they have to work on. So they are going to that extent in terms of being sensitive to addressing these customer service issues. And of course, they are benefiting from it because, you know, in the break rooms, in the meeting rooms, the teams are constantly being, bombarded with this information, keeping this priority, ensuring that there is this priority in their minds in terms of converting these detractors into promoters for the brand. Various recovery tactics, I have discussed distributive justice, etc. Very often the poor responses are because of the attitude of the customer service person, which aggravates a customer even more. And very often, in fact, when a customer has expected a compensation or a upgrade or actually monetary compensation, a lot of it has actually been because they initially only wanted to an apology or to express or to report the issue and not really monetary benefit. But the attitude of the customer service agent has put them off so badly that now they are angry enough and they want compensation too. This is a very, very common thing. So handling customers' complaints seriously is very important. To cite another example, Southwest Airlines, which is operating 4,000 flights daily, it has over 100 million customers annually, have extremely very closely monitor their social media on what are customers posting, what are their customers' problems. They actually call it their listening center, and they have 31 dedicated teams who are tracking their social media customer interactions, posts, comments very, very closely, whether it is a customer who's writing about lost luggage, whether it's a customer who's writing about missed connection, whether any other feedback. These teams are dedicatedly tracking it, responding to it in as quickly as possible, and ensuring that the situation does not get out of hand. And clearly something like this has helped Southwest be a leader in customer service. Now, customers, of course, complain for a variety of reasons. One is they are simply reporting the issue. Sometimes it's a form of release. Then they are also, becoming detractors and publicly lashing out on social media. And, that makes them feel like, okay, you did not resolve my problem. That hurt me emotionally, financially, whatever, in whatever way. But now I'm going to hurt you back. It makes them feel like they have got their way. Very often it is from a point of view of genuinely wanting to help the company improve their product or service. And it's actually very beneficial for the company to kind of listen to these. So, for example, since I'm talking about Southwest Airlines, continuing to talk about that, Southwest Airlines, now this storm happened in January 2017, this massive storm happened, which led to crazy disruption in flights. Now, can Southwest Airlines do anything about it? No. Can any other airline do anything about it? No. Is it Southwest Airlines' fault? No. But understanding and being sensitive to the frustration of the customer, where it is not their fault, they cannot be held liable. But understanding the frustration of the customer, what Southwest Airlines started doing is that on their social media, they started putting up very, very regular updates of what the status and situation was like, which customers appreciated. So then that gets customers to, not only be forgiving, but in situations like this, where it's not even the fault of Southwest, but they are going out of their way to, be sensitive to a customer's frustration, they also bring in those customers with a stronger loyalty factor. So another example of whether it is complaints, whether it is feedback. Another brand which is using their customer interaction and really giving importance to the voice of the customer is the Hyatt Group of Hotels. And they have a dedicated landing page where customers can come and share their experiences, give their positive and negative feedback. And they encourage on social media, a lot of brands are scared about, we don't want to get mentioned, we hope there aren't too many posts about us because, what if customers are talking negatively about us? But here, Hyatt consciously and proactively encourages their customers to use hashtag World of Hyatt and hashtag World of Understanding to share their experiences. And these experiences could be positive or negative, but they have these teams who are dedicatedly tracking that and ensuring that the customers are being responded to. If it's appreciation, also they are being responded to and being thanked and made to feel included. And if it is a negative, that too then is being addressed. Now, here are examples that I'm giving of people who are including their customers. Very often a company fails and then they say, our customers didn't even give us the feedback. Customer left us, or the company loses a customer and they wonder like, okay, why did you move to a competitor? You could have given us feedback. But why are there situations when a customer doesn't complain? Very often he doesn't know who to go to complain. Very often he feels, it's useless to complain because there's going to be an argument and I don't want that stress. Let this money go out of the window. I'll move to a competitor. I don't think the staff and the customer service people are skilled enough, sensitive enough, empathetic enough, and they don't bother complaining. But if they don't bother complaining, doesn't mean that you have pretty much swept the issue under the carpet. Doesn't mean you have resolved it, because you've lost the consumer in any case. So another company which includes customers. And instead of panicking, another company which includes the customers, and instead of going into panic mode when they get ideas or when they get feedback, they came up with something which is very, very proactive, is Starbucks. That in, they launched in 2009-10, they launched this My Starbucks idea, inviting customers to share ideas on improvements, share ideas on various things that Starbucks could do, on improvements, on products, on various other initiatives. And feeling valued and included, within a few years, they got more than 2 lakh responses from customers. And not only that, they took some 275 of those customer ideas across improvement, process improvement, corporate social responsibility, various other factors, and actually implemented these ideas, making the customer feel so valued. And also, wherever it would have been negative, they, wherever possible, they have implemented those ideas. So YouTube also very proactively takes feedback of customers and surveys. So very often people who use YouTube actively will get an option to fill out a 5-question survey. And, a lot of people may skip it, but you will probably see a survey which pops up. It says, which asks you questions about how relevant you think the video was for you. People who give this feedback and people who fill in these surveys, that information and data is very, very useful for entities like YouTube to, customize the recommendations. It goes into the algorithms. It really helps them to learn from the responses that their customers are giving, being sensitive to their, sharing of information, and then inculcating that and including, embedding that in the learning from that in the response to their algorithms, recommendations, etc. So this is a very, very proactive way. Also, we know that on YouTube, unless you go for a premium plan, you have to watch a lot of ads. And different ads are shown to different people based on what their patterns have been. Same thing applies to, Instagram. Same thing applies to Twitter. All of these algorithms customize what I view, and what I view is unique from what you view or any other person views, because based on my consumption patterns, my viewing patterns, including not just which videos and posts I have seen, but how long I have spent on them, have they been just basic cursory, or has there been any element of interaction in terms of likes, commenting, various things? So all of this data and this feedback and this learning goes into the responses of YouTube in terms of bettering what they offer and helping the customers feel better. Now, we should also keep in mind that keeping a customer engaged is not something which requires too much investment or money. Because when we were talking about the different kinds of justice, very often it is not a compensation. People just want fairness. People just want a hearing piece. People don't want to feel ignored. So when you have the CEO of an airline going to meet customers, meeting them on tarmacs, meeting them on flights, meeting them around, customers are not looking for any kind of immediate monetary gain. They pretty much are using that opportunity to share their experience or maybe even share a positive response. And if you miss this opportunity down across the levels of employees, if you miss this opportunity of learning from an experience, you can't reverse it. If a customer is dissatisfied and the service was really bad, you cannot reverse it and say that, yes, there are times you say, give us another chance, but that bad experience cannot be reversed. It's happened. And we had seen in previous discussions that it takes more than 12 positive responses to bring in to undo the effect of one negative response. Now, that is actually, quite frankly, I feel a conservative figure, because when we see any brand receiving flack online, we have seen how badly they get battered and how badly they get brickbats. So, you know, that negative review, if you are insensitive to it, you cannot undo. You can try to recover from it in the best possible manner, but you cannot reverse time and undo that negative customer experience that happened. So it's best to have a proactive, preventive approach. And if you are given that opportunity where you have to have this interaction to respond to them, then use it in the best possible manner rather than aggravating the situation and making it far worse for the customer and then for you. Because today, a lot of things are word of mouth. Today, a lot of things are your perceived. You may be as good a brand, but your perceived reputation online, which makes or breaks, you know, businesses. Now, moving to another example of a customer, of a business that learned from its, you know, flaws, learned from what the feedback the customer was giving, learned from the changing requirements of the customer, and grew as a result.